Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome to Knife Talk. We're still here. We haven't been banned from anywhere. We're still on Spotify. We're still on iTunes. We're everywhere. Knife Talk, the podcast for knife makers, anybody with an interest in knives, and just hobbyists, whatever you may be. Welcome to the show. We're here every Monday with myself, Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives, Jeff Fader of Fader Knives, and Mareko Momassi of Momassi Fire Arts. Every single Monday for you. How are you guys? It's been a week.
It's good. I mean, you can't make this week up. You can't make it up. Fucking first week of the... Jesus H. Christ.
Remember saying in 2020, 2021 can only get better. Jesus.
I mean, Christ. It is a fucking crazy, crazy, crazy 6, 5, 7 days, whatever it is.
Yep. Every time my phone like beeps with a notification from, I got like BBC News on my phone. Every time something comes up, I'm like, what the hell is, the world is burning. What's going on? Madness. Madness. What about personally? What have you been up, Jeff? What have you been up to this week?
Well, my wife had an awesome, exciting birthday on Wednesday.
There's some fireworks, especially for her.
Her birthday is now down in the annals of history, in terms of craziness. I've been trying to just like pull out. I mean, pull out of like all my old stuff, and the funny thing is like, I mean. Listen, we're going to have to talk about this at some point. There's a fucking insurrection in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. And I hate to make jokes about it, but it was like, I mean, it was the it's hard to think it's funny. I actually had a message from Food and Wine magazine. They wanted to do an article. And so they reached out. They said, we want to see you on Tuesday. Can we talk to you on Tuesday? And I said, yeah, sure. Let's talk on Tuesday. And then they sent me a message saying, something came up. Can we talk to you on Wednesday? I'm like, yeah, let's go. Wednesday at 3. Okay, great. Wednesday at 3. So I'm getting ready to it's my wife's birthday, having a good time, getting ready, got her some stuff made. My kid and I got the house ready for her. And, you know, look, birthday. So I'm getting ready to do this interview at the shop, and I turn the radio on. A holy hell breaks loose, and then the rioters, the protesters turn into rioters and stormed the Capitol building right when I get on the interview with this person. I was listening to 5 minutes beforehand. I'm like, holy shit, my phone rings, and hey,
that's an alibi. That's a hell of an alibi.
This is.
I'm sure I saw you in the crowd with a Knife Talk 10 banner at one point.
Yeah,
this alibi doesn't stick with me.
Yeah, I was just a lot of jokes to be made, you know. But and then I'm on this phone call, and my fucking phone keeps beeping, and it's you, Craig Lockwood, saying, why aren't they arresting these people? I'm trying to have a conversation with the senior editor of Food and Wine, and then you're losing your mind somehow I'm involved with the police department of Washington, D.C. And then on top of that, a very high-ranked member of my family started calling me over and over and over again. And because I didn't pick up, that person thought something was wrong. So I got these messages. I mean, literally, it was crazy. We're not picking up. We're worried about you. I'm like, I finally called them back. I'm like, look, we're 5 hours from Washington. We're fine. There's nobody, trust me, there's nobody coming up here for us or anybody else.
So what was the Food and Wine thing? What was that all about?
I don't know. It was like, I think it was, to be honest with you, we were actually had to make jokes to her. And I was basically like, don't you have something better to talk about than this goddamn talk about high expensive knives? It was basically an article about, I'm assuming it's about like what makes, you know, why what makes a knife expensive, and why should you pay a certain X amount of dollars for a knife? And then, so I was trying to explain what goes into knife making, custom knife making, and I was just making it very, teaching the audience that, you know, this isn't just like grabbing a lawnmower blade and, you know, shoving a handle on it, you know. So it was great. And she's senior editor's become a friend, and we had a lot of jokes, and, you know, hopefully something comes out of it. So blah, blah, blah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Mareko, your week, what's been going on?
I actually, when all that stuff was going on Wednesday, I didn't find out about it until like the evening, just because like when I'm at the shop, I'm in my hole grinding away and listening to podcasts or audiobooks and stuff. And it was pretty nuts to see all this news. And I think it first popped up just somebody like had made a meme that I saw on Instagram that said, 5 days in, cheers to 2022, and like people are already looking forward to like the next year. So my week was pretty standard work stuff. My kid got back to school on Wednesday. I think I've said this before, he's at a Waldorf school, and so the classes are so small. I think he's got like 7 kids in his class, and they do everything outside, like everything. They even like have the kids like pee next to the trees outside. It's
jeez.
Funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
In this weather.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah. You gotta go somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, if it's terrible weather, they do have an indoor, they just do everything they can to, stay outside. Yeah, nice. But anyways, so, that's been nice for him. He's been super stoked. And then what was it yesterday? Saturday is my home day. So, he and I had a quote unquote adventure day. And so, and it started out like such a shit show, and it's just the age, you know. I think he gets something in his mind and he's just locked into that idea. He wanted to just stay home and hang out in pajamas and play with some toys of some sort, or he just got a new present from my sister. It was like this little crafty creation station thing, that she sent like a bunch of like beads and feathers and skull, like little like resin skulls of dinosaur skulls and stickers and all that shit for him to make stuff, and like animal print pipe cleaners and stuff like that. And so he wanted to do that, but I did not want to do that. And so I forced him to get out, and we went to this awesome bakery that's here in town called Left Bank Bakery, which is supposed to be potentially one of the best French bakeries in the country, or at least on the West Coast. And we got picked up some snacks, and then we went up to there's this old school drive-through burger shack that's been around since I think the early 50s. And the guy that owns it now is a dinosaur enthusiast, and he had some health issues a few years back, and so I think he's gonna kind of gone on the whole like, you know, you never know when you're gonna go kind of situation, getting the most out of life. And so he's just been buying up all these like Jurassic Park dinosaur models that are like 15 feet tall, or, you know, like Jesus, these big things. And he lives right next, like he owns the property also and lives at the property right next to the burger shack. And so he's turned his whole yard into this like dinosaur museum kind of thing. Wow. And so we went and walked around there. We spent 20 minutes just walking around and looking at all the dinosaurs like 4 or 5 times over.
So he's a kook.
The guy, yeah, he's kind of kooky. The guy we talked, he was actually there preparing for more dinosaurs that were going to be showing up on Monday. And we went down to the water and hung out down by the water and skipped some rocks and threw rocks in the water. And then we headed home and had a good rest of the day. But it was just nice to get out and have some good time with the dude.
Outdoor time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, we in our little forest here, we put up we've seen lots of drop-ins of, you know, various animals. We know there's wild boar there, and there's deer there and so on. So we put up a trail cam last night just to see if we catch anything on camera. So I went and retrieved it this morning, super excited, and there was like a couple of times that it got flagged, which means it'll start recording, so something's crossed its path. It was like, great, great, great. And it was just a mouse. So yeah, day one, we just got a mouse. So I'm sure we're going to get more. But I mean, work-wise this week, it's been back to the folding knife. I've sorted out the sort of mechanical design of it, how it's going to work and, you know, the dimensions and everything like that. So now it's on about the sort of visual design. So I ordered a bunch of that fake ivory called Elferin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I found it quite expensive, but it's the same guys that make Juma, you know, the like exotic sort of plastics, I suppose. But this Elferin, it really feels like ivory, and I bought two different types so I could see which one I'd prefer and so on. So this afternoon I am sort of CNCing the handle shapes out of this Elferin. So I think that's what I'm going to go with. But, I mean, the ethical concerns I have with using synthetic ivory, I'm not quite sure whether I should. So I need to give that a bit more thought, I think. I know it's not real ivory, I know, but it sort of glamorizes ivory, maybe. I'm not sure. Don't know what to do with that.
That seems like a stretch. I mean, if it's fake, it's fake.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's like fur. People like fake fur. It's still sort of...
Fake fur is controversial?
I think so. It's still making it a thing, isn't it?
I think if you say you're wearing fake fur, it's not like you're not like pulling the wool over someone's eyes. Get it? Motherfucker.
So I'm not quite sure. But the whole point is to recreate that very first knife I had as a kid, which was ivory. I'm not sure whether to go with the Elferin or not. But it's nice stuff. It's worked out quite expensive, though. You know, for what is essentially a bit of plastic.
But how much was it? How much is it for you?
For a, let's say it was like a chef's knife size handle, you're probably talking in dollars, probably $60-$70.
Oh, that's a lot.
Holy smokes.
But, you know, what is, I said, effectively plastic. It does have a grain to it, you know, as if it's real ivory and so on. But yeah, I mean, for this pocket knife, I'd obviously, you know, I'd get quite a bit out of a bar. But
it's so expensive because it's obviously made out of ground up children or something like that, right? One thing to the other, right? Can you imagine that would be, the best.
It's a European product, isn't it? And I know you can get a hold of it in the United States through various outlets. And I've seen blocks for like around $15 a handle block.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's the Brit in France tax then, maybe.
Everything
I buy seems to be super expensive at the moment. But so that's what I've been doing, this folding knife. So I'm hoping to have a finished prototype maybe by this time next week. And then I'll do like everything else that I do when I make a prototype knife. I'll just use it for some time, keep it in my pocket, use it for a few weeks and just see how it sort of holds up and see if there's any little niggles or changes that I'd like to make. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. First folding knife I've made.
Little what?
Niggles. Little things you'd want to change, you know?
I think you should probably not worry about your fake ivory and worry about words
like
niggles. That. Yes, I think that would be far more controversial than fake ivory. Thank you.
Jesus. What is safe to say these days?
You say whatever you want. I'm here to help you. I'm here.
You're
going to
ban me from my own platform.
Listen, if you don't want to listen to this podcast, there are plenty of other podcasts to listen to on the Make Me channel. You know, speaking of which, funny enough, last week I had on Jesse Oetta, who's great. She's terrific.
She's brilliant.
She's terrific.
That's the second time now, isn't it? Each time, yeah. She's just brilliant.
Yeah. And we were like, what should we talk about? I'm like, well, this is this great story because there's nothing going on in the news. It's about Alec Baldwin's wife who's pretending she's from another country. And it was this wonderful story that was like so super not political and had nothing to do with anything. And it was just like this total rag conversation. And then 5 minutes later, you know.
That happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the weirdest story ever, that whole Alec Baldwin's wife thing. It's mental.
I tell you what, he is, I've said this before, he is a complete New York character. I appreciate all the ups and downs of Alec Baldwin. I don't understand it, but I appreciate it. Because, he left a message. I wish you could play the message he left for his daughter on a voicemail years ago. It was fucking ridiculous. And she put it in the, you can't make this shit up. But, I mean, obviously, you know, Ilaria Baldwin now is very happy that her story is off the front page of the Post. So
there we go. Did you hear about that, Mareko?
No, I hadn't heard about that.
You didn't. give him the brief synopsis of it.
The brief synopsis is Alec Baldwin is now married to this woman named Ilaria. And he, for some reason, he goes on all these shows, and when he brings up his wife, he brings up that she's Spanish. And I thought she was Spanish. He was on Howard Stern. He's talking about, is my wife Spanish? Got hot blood and all that. Goes on Jimmy Fallon, the Spanish blood.
So she speaks with a Spanish accent.
She speaks with a Spanish accent. She's, you know, she's even said stuff on like these shows, like, you know, she's pointing to a cucumber and she says, you know, how do you say that in English? Turns out she's from Boston. And she comes from this, you know, she spent a little time in Spain. She likes Spain. And it's this.
But she was schooled in the U.S. and everything. You know, she didn't really spend much time in Spain.
You can't make this shit up. But the problem is the fact that, I mean, she does a podcast and she identifies as being Spanish and blah, fine. But it was such the great part about it. It's crazy because, I mean, he's gone on some of the biggest interviews of all time and made a point of the fact that his wife is from Spain. It's fucking nuts. It's the whole thing is nuts, but he's nuts. I mean, he's completely nuts. And I love him. I'll be honest with you. I love the ups and downs. I don't need someone to be pure. I need some, but I like to ride the Alec Baldwin waves and go to the tops of the waves and to the bottom of the waves. I love it all. So it's crazy. It's a crazy story, but you know, God bless Washington, D.C. We're not talking about that anymore.
Exactly. The news has changed. Shall we go into some questions? This is the bit of the show where I like to identify it as somebody really, really stupid.
Hey, man, can I ask you a question?
Hilarious.
This first one is from Carter Malmquist, I think it is, on Instagram. Hey, cuties, I've just finished up my first knife, but I ran into a problem that I was able to get around for the time being. I don't have the money for a belt grinder yet, so I had a hard time thinning the edge out after heat treat. I used a worn-out file this time, and I'm wondering if there's a better way. Keep up the good work. Love the show, and thanks. So he doesn't have a belt grinder, and after heat treat, he wants to basically grind the knife out. What tips would you have for him?
I mean, do you guys have stuff?
I mean, everybody wants it all. You can't have it all.
I'm sorry to say. Well, I mean, we all know that, you know, it's quite an investment buying a belt grinder, and we can help you out with that, which we'll talk about a bit later. Jeremy from Simple Little Life did a video just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, where he got one of those really inexpensive 1x30s. Super, super inexpensive. And I mean, he made a knife out of that and that looked great, you know? And I've seen lots of people using those 1x30s making great, great stuff. So if, you know, I think the next step up from using files would probably be a really cheap 1x30.
And if you put in Knife Talk 15, you get nothing.
exactly. But you know, you're going to see a massive difference the minute you go to a 2x72.
Sure.
Just because, you know, that's what they're designed for, where these little ones really aren't designed for knife makers. Yeah. If you don't have the tools, it just means a lot of sweat, I'm afraid. So, yeah, it does mean if you're using files, there's no easy way.
But there's also a balance between how far you go before heat treatment. Like, you could probably go a lot farther than you think. I mean, I'm not talking about a culinary knife, but if you're just making something, you could probably go a lot farther than you think, and then maybe it won't be as much work after heat treatment.
Quite possibly.
And using a sharp file, well, I mean, you can even just get some cheap files from Harbor Freight that will do the job. I've actually draw filed a couple knives, and it's surprising. Like, if it sounds like he was doing the draw or like the filing after. And I might be mistaken, but whatever filing you're going to try to do to thin out the edge, you want to do that before the heat treat, for sure. And like Jeff was saying, like, you're probably not going to do this for a chef's knife, but like a bushcraft knife or hunting knife or something like that, something a little harder use kind of EDC knife, you could definitely draw file and then hand sand 220 and then heat treat it. And then basically after heat treat, you hand sand it again and sharpen it. Yeah. Like, that's it. So, just
that's
take
a great
it
point.
And if you are running a 1x30, combat makes belts for 1x30. So get on
you.
It.
Look at you. Look at you. The other thing is just to promote Aaron Goff makes a video. Aaron Goff from the XYZ podcast makes a video about doing a knife with a file. And he's not doing a whole lot of extra grinding after he heat treats. Right. I don't even think he does any grinding. I think he just hands, just like Morocco said, I think he just hand sands it at the end and then puts the edge on it.
Yeah, a little known fact about Aaron. He's got a tattoo across his chest that says hand filing for life.
That is not what it says. I think it says something different. Oh, P.S. If you want awkward, go on Craig's podcast. He's going to ask you an awkward question in the beginning, and then you're going to have to sit through the whole podcast for the whole time. If you're going to ask an awkward question, do me a favor, ask at the end. Poor Aaron had to sit through that motherfucker.
Yeah, that's on the XYZ podcast or XYZ. If you've got any interest in CNC at all, that's another podcast on the Makery Network at makery.network. Who wants to take the next one?
I'll take it. This one's from Bob Bryan. He says, "Hey guys, I recently just started using stainless, and so far it's noticeably larger pain in the ass to hand sand. 440C, ABL, CPM 154 are the three that I've been testing out. It also has a noticeable effect on my electric bill running my even heat at the higher temperature required. I've decided to just charge a supplemental price for stainless. Is this a normal practice, or am I being a cheap fuck who just needs to suck it up and figure out how to make ends meet? Thanks, Bob."
I think if it's taking you more time, you should maybe charge more for that knife. It's part of your labor.
Right.
I've never noticed. I mean, I don't go through my electricity bill and sort of work out which heat treat that was for. But I can't imagine there being that much of a difference. Maybe you guys on 110, it may be a difference, but certainly on European voltages over here, it gets up to temps even, for stainless pretty quick.
When I was using my 110 at home, my bills went up. Right. When I got a 220 even heat, my bills did not go up. It went much faster.
Ah.
So, and also if you were like me, when I first had my even heat, my first one with the 110, I had like a 100-foot extension cord going from the house.
That was heating up the whole show.
Oh my god! You could have cuddled up to that cord. It was so warm. You warm your fucking self up.
Holy shit!
Shit was getting. I was like, man, I don't think this is right. Maybe I should get a shorter. I was like, yeah, I should really keep my eye on this mother. Oh, dude, I was got cold. I wrapped a cord around my neck like a scarf. It was great.
Are you serious? You're serious?
No, of course not. I just put a fucking electric cord around my neck. Are you crazy?
I mean, you're not hanging from it, so.
I mean,
you might be desperate. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know how you guys manage with 110. I mean, is it normal for people then to have like a European style as well?
110 is kind of the house, like standard for houses, unless the only outlets are like the washer dryer hookup or the oven. That are usually right. 220, 240, whatever.
Yeah.
But they're not usually 50 amps.
Yeah.
Like a welder or,
it's going to
be, the amperage going to be higher.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, when it comes to that stuff, it's good that he's thinking about this because based on where he's at, I mean, if you're really trying, because it sounds like he's trying to actually do this as a business, you got to think about that stuff. And break it all the way down, sometimes even all the way down to the electrical cost, if you can actually track that and build that into the price, because that is all of that stuff goes into the manufacture of your product.
That might have been a domestic partner might have said, why are these electric bills so high?
Yeah.
I had that one. My wife and I first moved to our apartment. We got air conditioner. It was our first apartment. We kept that motherfucker running for the first month. Then it was just like, you turn that motherfucker on. I'm going to cut the goddamn cord off. Don't put that goddamn thing on.
But Bob, anyway, please watch your language. That the language you use in that question to us is disgusting, and our listeners deserve better.
Don't get out of here.
That was a cue for you then, Jeff.
It was our anniversary of me being poor languaged, insulted or something like that. I don't know.
Yes, that picture you sent earlier. Yeah.
This is nothing special. I was chastised for my language years ago on this podcast.
You marked it in your calendar, so every year it comes up to haunt you.
I happen to have responded back saying, "I'll talk to Jeff." Jeff, this is from Jeff. It's Jeff answering. You're right, and it just happened to come up this morning that it was the anniversary of me being chastised for my language, and it might affect our sponsorships, mm-hmm. which it clearly hasn't. So,
yeah.
Good segue there, Craig.
Yeah,
you way to make it awkward. That's your move. Way to make it awkward in the beginning. Jesus Christ, that was.
Who's taking the next one?
Whoo! This one comes from Nick Kruger. Hey fellas, can I ask you a question? Is it possible to add a hamon after temper by using a torch to soften the spine?
Mareko, this has got. I would have thought not, but Mareko, what do you think?
I wouldn't really. What you can achieve is, because what you'll be doing, if you fully harden the blade and then go back with a torch, you will be changing the crystalline structure, especially depending on how hot you get it. And it will etch differently, but an active, interesting hamon will you get? I don't think so. So I would just try to do it on the way down when you're cooling down the blade. Kind of standard method. It's a lot easier and a lot less likely to screw up the heat treat, because if you're heating up those thicker kind of cross section of the blade, it's easy for that heat to travel down to the cutting edge, especially if you're trying to create something active and interesting looking.
If you were to keep the blade part in the water while you were heating up the spine, would that make it a little on the safer side? Not that I suggested. I mean,
yeah, it would definitely be on the safer side. I would not call that a hamon, though. That would be a differential hardening line, because that would be more accurately describing what's happening there. You've heated up the blade to soften it, so you have a difference of hardness between the heated area and the cutting edge. But hamon, I don't think so.
Why don't you you remind our listeners what a hamon actually is?
A hamon is, so it comes from Japanese tradition in the way that they would water quench their knives and their swords. And essentially what they would do is they would insulate a portion of the blade with clay. And as you are, and then you would bring the whole blade up to heat treating temperature. And then as you would quench it, a portion of the blade was either exposed or behind a thinner layer of clay. And then the thicker clay would insulate the blade. And so the exposed stuff or the thinner layer would cool down quickly, while the other stuff was holding heat longer and wouldn't harden properly, basically. But what that would do is that would give a single piece of steel hard edge with a tough or soft spine area, or body of the blade. And they would paint on these clay hamons in a way that would create these very active and interesting activity, these lines, because you can see a defined line between the hard area and the soft area, because as the steel is heating and cooling, different crystal structures and grain structures are grown and created. And if it's not cooled within the proper amount of time coming down from hardening temperatures, it will create perlite instead of martensite, which is what we want for a hard cutting edge. Perlite won't do shit for us, but in a hamon it looks nice. And so I don't know, did I answer that?
Yeah, I think you did a great
job. Perfectly.
Yeah, see Craig, that's how you do a non-awkward segue. Okay, you've been at this for a while, so I figured maybe you should know this is the correct
way. I'm still rusty. It's still beginning of the year. Yeah. Still rusty.
Yeah.
Okay, Rogers Custom Knives says, here's a question I've never heard. I am looking at doing my first canister Damascus, and I've got a ton of 1095 and 1084 scraps from cutting out knife profiles. Is there such a thing as powdered 15N20? I'd like to recycle the scraps I have and use them. Or is a better solution to cut up some of the 15N20 that I have and add it to the can, then fill with powdered 1084? Is there another powder steel that would act the same as 15N20? I'm going to play the dumb card and say I haven't got a clue what you're talking about here. Mareko, what do you think?
Yeah, there actually is powdered high carbon powder steel that actually, so it has nickel mixed in, but it's not part of the actual powdered alloy. So maybe you would have like 1080 or 1084 or something like that powder. It would be nickel powder mixed in with that. I don't know if that really works out though to create kind of like that 15 and 20 effect. But a lot of people use it and it's sold at a few places online. But there are, it's possible to make 15 and 20 powder either by yourself or possibly source it. It's just really hard to get a hold of steel alloy that has the nickel in the composition of the metal already, which I think would be the most ideal situation. But
how would you make the powder yourself?
You could just get it basically chipped up. I think that's how they're doing it, is they're grinding it down somehow that isn't like using without using like a sand abrasive of some sort or ceramic abrasive, because obviously that would get mixed in and that would kind of taint it. So you got to cut the material with something else that isn't going to impart any kind of impurities, I guess, to it. And yeah.
I mean, if you use
a carbide die grinder would cut it, you know, without
Day at the office.
Oh yeah, it's a lot. That would be terrible. That is not the job.
How would you even capture it? It'd be like going everywhere.
Inside of a sandblasting cabinet.
This is all too much work for this. I would highly suggest getting the Forge series from Jason Knight, our friend Jason Knight. The second series is the second season, I guess it would be, is our friend Steve Schwartzer, and he does, it's all about Canister Damascus, and he's great, and it's definitely worth it if you're looking into Canister Damascus. And the last thing I would say is it's not going to work. Don't go to New Jersey Steel Baron and put in Knife Talk anything, because they're not going to give you, it doesn't work. I'm getting that a lot. Like, what's the promo code for the New Jersey Steel Baron? It's nothing. There is no promo code. They are our friends. I am a fan. The Brunos are the best. I love Pete. There's no fucking promo code. So that just start with them. But I would definitely get a hold of them if you're looking for the powder and see if maybe they can help you out.
Cool.
Yeah. Good. I think that's really good advice, though. Steve Schwartzer is the granddaddy of powdered pattern, using powdered steels and pattern making. So
he goes through the whole thing. He shows you there's the little things like leaving a vent hole for the gas to escape. There's the how he does the I'm not going to tell you, but he has a different way of coating the canister without what you normally think. And it's very, very, it's an excellent, the little tiny tips and tricks to make it better. So get the Forge series from Jason Knight. I think it's Jason Knight Studios. I don't know if there's a promo code or not, but keep your eyes open, because every so often he does do it at a incredibly good break. He did it one break before. I got them all. I got all
$50 for the first season, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, he gives you a window of opportunity. And when he gives you that window, you take it. Yeah. Jason Knights does a fucking great job.
So I'm this week about to start my work on, well, it's not the first Damascus knife, but the first in years anyway. I actually did one years ago, which it didn't work out too well, to be honest with you. And it was all my fault. But I've got some Dharma Core here, and I know you guys have as well, which is from Dharma Steel. So for those who don't know, Dharma Steel is like a stainless steel Damascus. And I've got some of the Dharma Core, which is the one with the core in it. So almost like a, I suppose it's a sort of San Mai kind of thing. And I'm not quite sure what to do with it yet, but if you're listening and you want to get your hands on some Dharma Steel, you can register on the site. You need to register it as a potential customer. And if you use Knife Talk 10, you'll get 10% off, which can be a huge saving, because this stuff is quality stuff. You know, it's show grade stuff. So if you're into that, make sure you use Knife Talk 10 and you can get 10% off your order with Dharma Steel.
And I'm excited. Congratulations to Eddie Jitz, Edward R. Knives, for winning a Chef Knife of the Year for Dharma Steel.
Really?
Yeah, they voted. Nice. You know, here's the thing. There was a lot of voting with, I guess they do a Knife of the Month or something. And yeah, we got a lot of people who listen to this podcast who are like, hey, would you mind just plugging mine so we could vote? And I would have. And Eddie's the greatest. Eddie Jitz rules. And he won. But we did have a number of people who were also competing. So I took the high road and said, I can't tell people who to vote for. But congratulations to Eddie for Chef Knife of the Year from Dharma Steel.
I didn't even know that was happening.
I don't think they do a very. I mean, it didn't really. I didn't really.
Yeah, they do a knife. They do a Knife of the Month every month as well on Instagram. They show, you know, various makers, and some of the stuff is, you know, beautiful, obviously, because it's, you know, high end materials they're using too. But yeah, Knife Talk 10, and you get 10% off Dharma Steel anyway.
Quentin Middleton just made a banger out of Dharma Steel. He does use Dharma Steel a lot. I think so does Greg Sims. A lot of guys use Dharma Steel. It's high level guys use high level steel, so that's the stuff to use.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm scared to use mine because I don't want to fuck it up.
Me too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, me too.
Who's taking the next?
This one is from Rogers Custom Knives. He says, that was the one we just did. All right, Sean Porter. Sorry, question for Craig. I'm debating starting a podcast and was wondering what your expectations are to be hosted on the Makery Network. Sorry.
Quite possibly. It obviously depends what the content is, and you know, we try very hard to make sure the quality is good. So, you know, make a little sort of almost like a demo tape, you know, and just send me over a little file, and I can see what it's all about.
That's not good enough. Possibly. That's not good enough.
No?
No, it's not good enough. You gotta because I get this a lot. You've got to be consistent. Podcasts have got to be consistent. And you've got to you can't take time off. You can't take time off because, I was talking to Alex Steele about it. He can't take time off his videos because if he does, then they forget. So do a nice job. Come up with something good. Do a few. Have a plan. Make a game plan. And then give them hell. Good audio, too. Yeah. Good audio is very important.
Definitely. It's taken us years to get, you know, the audio that we have now. There's still, you know, I nearly said the word niggles again then. There's still little things that, you know,
we're going
like
to get banned. We're going to get banned.
Oh, jeez. You may. Right. Okay. We'll try. It's just a very common word. I'm not doing this to try and be funny.
You're trying to be awkward. Stop being
this awkward. This is awkward.
This is the third time you made things awkward in this podcast. This is an outrage.
But anyway, yeah, there's still things that I'd like to tweak audio-wise. But yeah, it's really important that you put – it takes effort. People think you just sit in front of a mic and, you know, you record for an hour and a half once a week. It's not that. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, both regards to preparation for it and the actual recording itself. You know, you need a quiet space. You need to, you know, give it some thought, give it some time. But yeah, send me a message and yeah, let's have a chat.
I got a message from a good podcaster who's interested in getting into. I think you're gonna get a message from Toby. Toby Knife and Steel is interested in the Makery Network. He does a good job.
Yeah, no, it's a good.
Toby does a good job.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Good dude.
Okay. Jacob Snyder asks, "Hey Mike, can I ask you a question? Thoughts on putting Scotch-Brite belts in the washing machine? Seems like it might work. Discuss." Scotch-Brite belts in the washing machine. I mean, I have been known to put my buffing wheels in the washing machine. I put them in an old pillowcase, stick them in the washing machine, and they come out as good as new.
That's weird.
Possibly. But Scotch-Brite belts. I always thought, and I think I was told this in the past, that a Scotch-Brite belt would just wear itself down. It would never sort of lose the grit that it has.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the case. They seem to go hard and brittle over time, you know? So I'm not sure putting them in the washing machine would really work too well. And maybe the seam may come undone. And yeah, I can imagine not going well.
And if you're using like WD-40, that's a clutch trick. WD-40 in a Scotch-Brite belt. Don't put it in the washing machine. You make everything slippery and smell terrible.
Or take it to the laundromat.
Right. I mean, you know, I don't,
don't do it at home.
Oh my God. I was once using some sort of, I don't know what it was. It was like a different type of WD-40. I think it was called something Blast. I'm not 100% sure it was.
PB Blast.
That shit smells terrible. That shit smells really bad. And I got it on my shirt and I was doing the laundry and I fucked up the laundry for a couple of cycles. It was bad. It was bad. Don't put the fucking... Combat sells the Scotch-Brite belts very inexpensively. It's like
they do
like around $20 a belt, which is cheap considering how much you get out of it.
Yeah, and they've got all four grits as well. So the what's it, the brown, burgundy, blue, gray. I think that's the order they come in. Yeah, they've got them all, and you can get a discount.
Combat abrasives make the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers, available in any size and at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with the promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
There we go. So no need to fuck up your washing machine. Just get your 15% off and get some new belts.
Don't do it.
Because I think once they're dirty, you're never going to get them back as new belts anyway. There's little point in trying. Okay, we've got another. I tell you, shall we change things up a little bit? Rather than just blast through questions and all the rest of it, let's do something we haven't done for a long time.
We got beef.
Our own beefs. So last week we did our all beef review, which has become an annual tradition now. It was out the third time in a row of going through your beefs. But I'm just wondering whether you guys have got any beefs from this week. So you have a think, and I'll tell you about mine. And my beef this week is my wife.
Oh, no.
And she doesn't listen anymore, so I'm good with this. But I mentioned in passing a few weeks ago that I was considering buying a motorbike. And I'm at that age. I'm just like an old fart now, and I like the idea of nothing crazy, but just like a cruiser, something quite classic, and just, you know, going through the countryside. I think it could be quite cool. And she's
ahead.
I know I'm a dick. I know.
I didn't say that.
But she's like, you'll kill yourself. And I'm like, I won't kill myself. I'm fine. If you're going to ride a bike, this is probably the safest place in the world because there's nobody around. Yeah. There's literally nothing around.
No one can help you when you crash. You and the cows.
But this is what my wife has been doing. She's been going on my laptop, going on YouTube and searching for motorcycle accidents.
Oh my God.
And all that kind of thing. So now, as soon as I open YouTube, I'm just fed. You know, the algorithm is just giving me, do not ride motorbikes. Do not ride motorbikes.
Awesome.
These people were killed riding motorbikes. And I'm just like, I'm over it. I'm just fed up of it. So my wife, that's my beef this week.
It's taking trolling to a whole nother level.
That's pretty fucking good.
From within your own household.
You know, there is a bit of a history to it, though. So
you started it, didn't you?
No. when we first met, we were living in like the city center I was, and I had this apartment thing, and I had a little scooter, because in the city center people have scooters, and I was meeting she was my girlfriend, my wife now was my girlfriend at the time, and her parents for dinner somewhere, and I went on the scooter. I pulled into the car park at exactly the same time as them. So, you know, I don't think I'd met her parents at this point anyway, but they just had a new car as well. And so they pulled into the car park. I pulled into the car park. I was absolutely minding, thinking about something else.
Oh, no.
And I slammed into the back of her car. their first memory of me is looking in the wing mirror and seeing me rolling around on the floor in their car. So, there's a bit of a history of me and two-wheelers. But
that is awesome.
So anyway, my wife is the beef because, she's bombarding me by beating the algorithm and bombarding me with these messages of, Craig, do not buy a motorbike. You're going to kill yourself. So
that's way worse than me driving into the shop and crashing into a work tape.
I was a lot younger I hadn't had the scooter for long. Yeah.
You looking like Tintin riding around the whales.
Oh, Jesus.
That's the best. God damn.
They remind me of that every time we see them as well, sure. Really.
Can you imagine if you get on their motorcycle, what they're going to tell you?
Oh, my God.
Do you guys have a...
We got beef.
What have you got, Marek? What's been grinding your gears this week?
I honestly, I can't really think of much other than just people making
the obvious.
Bad. Yeah, the obvious. You know, fucking people making bad decisions. So stupid. All right, yeah, I got nothing though. I got nothing right now, at least.
People making bad decisions.
Beef. We got beef.
Well, back to cars, but the truck, I got the Jeep back, and on the outside, they did a great job. A couple months ago, I was driving in to be on this podcast for you people, and I crashed the Jeep into a work table. I didn't crash. I slowly pushed in a lot of the truck, a lot of the front of the Jeep into itself. So I inverted part of the car. It got back, and the guy gave me I couldn't believe how nice of a job they did. I got in the car, I drove it around, and then I looked down, and I noticed something had been chewing my floor mat of the Jeep. They must have had a fucking squirrel in there or a rat. Oh. I didn't find rat droppings, but there was some hungry animal was chewing on my driver's side floor mat. Oh. And I just made the point that I was not going to go back and make a big thing about it, but it irritated the shit out of me. So
you can borrow my trail cam and stick it up in your truck. And
they must have like stored the Jeep with the doors open, because I was waiting to sniff around for some, you know, starved animal in my car. Nothing. So, you know, it was just, and there were like little paw prints on the hood of the car. So you can't make this up. And then he sent me a letter saying, I hope you enjoyed the service, which I ripped up. I said, they did a good job on the outside, but on the inside, they let out their gerbils into the goddamn, whatever, the shop gerbils or something, into the Jeep, chewing on my car.
Bad customer service.
I mean, you can't make it up.
Do you know who gives great customer service?
Go ahead.
Like, great customer service. And this is linked to one of the questions we had earlier about grinders. Broadback Ironwork. Probably the best 2x72 out there at the moment. Totally versatile. It's great. It's a long platen on it, a really long work rest. Pivots to be used, horizontal, vertical. Loads of attachments, and as Marekko said last week, it's I think it's 1.5-inch arms, so you can make your own tool arms as well and stuff like that. It's really, really flexible, really good value for money, and we can get cheaper for you too if you use Knife Talk 10, I believe.
Yeah, that's all Vince would let go.
You get 10% off, which is still incredible. So 10% off, broadbackironwork.com.
And I will say a shout out to Kempf, K-E-M-P-F, Forge. Kempf Forge did a hilarious video reviewing his Broadbeck 2x72 grinder. He basically did the review with his respirator on, so you can't really hear what he says, which is really funny, but he's clearly happy. So Ryan asked me to give him a shout out. So Kempf Forge did a great video. I think they have it on the Broadbeck_Ironworks on Instagram. Go give him a follow.
I did see that this morning. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Really Kempf is a local Mako here. He's about 40 minutes from where I live in Shelton.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Then he can come visit you in your shop, right?
Yeah. We've hung out before.
Oh, there you go. Kempf, nice, good job.
There we go. Okay, let's take a couple more questions then. I think we've got some beefs left over from last week.
We can sprinkle leftover beefs from the All Beef Review. We got a pile of them, so we can sprinkle those in to the end.
Okay. Okay. The next question then is from Foyne's Wayforge. And he says, do you grind distill tapers before or after grinding the bevel? He says, by the way, thanks for sharing so much info about knife making on the podcast. So he's talking about distill tapers. For those who don't know, if you look at a knife, normally sort of culinary knives, you'll see, if you look from the spine down, you'll see that there's an angle that, to the point. It sort of, well, it tapers down to the point. So it's not just the taper down to the cutting edge. There's also a taper down to the point. So he's asking, yeah, do you do those after heat treat?
So I grind my tapers the same time as I'm grinding the bevel.
Sorry, he's not asking about heat treat, is he? He's asking, do you grind distill tapers before or after grinding the bevel? I'm not quite sure what he means there.
Well, when does he take in, when does he put the distal taper in, is what he's saying.
But surely at the same time, as you're grinding your main bevels, you're also grinding in the distal taper.
I've ground in the bevels and then stopped and remarked the spine to grind the distal tapers in and then feathered all together. I've done that in the past.
Right, okay. Well, I suppose that's our answers then. I do at the same time as grinding the bevels. Mareko, do you have a certain way of doing that?
No, they go in. I mean, usually, actually, I forge it in initially, and I heat treat the blades as forged, and then I just kind of follow those same lines as I'm grinding. So I'm grinding the bevel and the taper, yeah, at the same time.
I'd never considered another way, to be honest with you. So. How do you do yours, Jeff? Explain the sort of marking out the distal taper, and then
it depends, because if I'm doing now, I've gotten to the point with over the past few years, if I'm doing stainless steel, I heat treat a full thickness, because I don't want to. I want to make sure that when I'm plate quenching, I'm keeping everything as straight as possible. When I'm doing carbon steel and I'm oil quenching, I'll put in the distal taper. I have in the past to try to figure out a way to make it more mechanical. I've ground down my bevels and then I'll mark down on the spine where the distal taper should be, and then I'll actually cut in from the spine and then I'll feather it all together. But I don't really do that anymore. I just kind of like make it happen. I just do it all together at the same time. If I'm doing either one of them. But I don't really get. I've become a lot less wanting to be mechanical. I like a little bit of humanity. So I'm not as machinist as I should be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked about this in the past with distal tapers. If you look at if you put the knife on the side, so you're looking at the cheek of the knife. If you look where the point is, the lower the point on the design, the easier it is really for that distal taper to be quite natural.
Right.
But if you've got a really high point, you then need to put more work in to make a distal taper. So, yeah, if you're having problems, maybe, look at your design and maybe moving that tip down would help.
And some knives don't necessarily need a distal taper.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Sure.
But that's a great point. That's when my K-tips, I don't have to put in as much distal taper because the point's lower on the center line of the knife, and I end up getting a natural distal taper in general.
Yeah, just from your main bevel.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
Okay, Tradition Knives says, while there is no all-round best steel, there are preferable steel for many types of knives. And he asked, could you give some ideas for stock removal, either culinary knives, camp knives, or general pocket knives? I mean, there's hundreds of different types of steel. And we've had knife steel nerds on the show in the past explaining, you know, the benefits of certain steels, that kind of thing. But most of us stick to, a small handful of steels. I mean, you guys, what are you using for your Damascus, first of all, Mareko?
I'm using 1080 and 15N20. So it's kind of a standard high carbon steel combination to make the Damascus from that you can get great heat treating results from and great performance out of. So it's pretty, it's kind of tried and true combination there.
I'm just to plug Jason Knight's Forge series again. The first season, he makes a very, very good point.
Get a room, Jeff. Jeez.
Stop making it awkward. Stop. You're making it awkward. What's the matter with you?
I'm kidding. I'm joking.
He said in the first season, he says, find one steel and just use that steel and figure out what you like about it, figure out what you don't like about it, and just kind of get real comfortable with the heat treatment, everything. He's a big fan of finding one steel and sticking with it. And I actually I didn't listen to him. I mean, it just happened to be. I found myself really having a very good experience with 440C stainless. The heat treatment turns out great. I really stick with it because I get my best results with that. And there's not a lot of fooling around. And then in regards to, I used to only use 1084, but now I really, really like 52-100. 52-100 carbon steel is like, for me, it's like a total dream. It's just great. Yeah.
So all of my carbon knives are 52-100. And for stainless, I'll use either 12C27, which has become a bit of a standard, particularly for, I mean, you talk about pocket knives there. Most pocket knives produced here in France are 12C27 or 14C28N, and they're both Sandvik steels. So those are the only stainless I use, and yeah, 52-100 for any carbon, which is becoming less and less really of what I'm doing, using more and more stainless.
Next question comes from Mikey Billy K 3. Hey, when you guys talk about a hammer-in, first of all, is it spelled hammer-in or is it spelled hammering-in? Hammer-in. Is it spelled hammer-in with a space or hammer-in without a space? Second, does that term basically mean get-together with makers and forge together? Thirdly, any knowledge on Canadian hammer-ins? Much love from Ontario. Thanks for the time, killer. I don't know. I mean, the hammer-in thing for me has always been friends of mine getting together, and then we end up inviting more people and more people. I think the idea is for a lot of them is to create a community, especially if it's local. I know the guys down in Philly, the Philly area, Steve and Jesse and Killian and all those guys get together and they do like kind of like a thing. And I know that when COVID's, you know, squared away, I know that we're going to go down to Sunsets and we get together. And I don't think that there's like a standard. I mean, there are places that do hammer-ins, but I don't know if there's like, you'd have to talk to like, you know, get involved with Abana or get involved with ABS. And the other thing is it's really good. I mean, ultimately the best thing to do is to just try to find like-minded people and then figure something, invite them over and figure something out.
Sure. Hmm. I've most commonly seen hammer and spell or the phrase as two separate words with a space in between hammer and in. And yeah, I agree. It's at the most basic form, it's just about getting together with other people to hang out and forge some stuff together. Yeah. All the way up to very formal, like they do at the New England School of Metalwork, where they're actually offering demonstrations and classes or whatever, along with the forging and stuff. So yeah, they range from all over the place. And I think the biggest thing, I mean, Ontario is not far from New York, and
it isn't,
isn't it? I can't remember. We drove to Ontario from Connecticut. It only took us a few hours to get up there. I feel like.
Is Ontario close to Montreal? Our Canadian listeners are so mad. You know, the maddest our Canadian listeners were. We did a quiz and I had a question about Rush in the quiz.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Both of you are like, who the fuck is Rush? Oh no, my God.
I know who Rush is. I didn't know the fucking lyrics.
I don't know. Whatever it was, boy, the fucking Canada went berserk. They were not happy at all.
As mad as they
get. Oh my God.
Straight to the heart was the song.
I don't remember. Yeah, for something like that. Yeah, that's very good. Very good. You have a very good memory for those little details.
I'm pretty sure Ontario is only about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours from Niagara.
Hmm. So there you go.
So it's not that far from the States. If you can, I mean, depending after COVID stuff's happening, I think people are doing hammer-ins down in the States at least somewhat frequently, or you can connect with somebody down there who's got who can get some stuff together. Who knows?
Don't connect with me.
Go hang out with Jeff. No, go hang out with Jeff.
Don't come here.
Stay away. Modern Forge guys.
Stay away.
Actually, you know what? When Jimmy DiResta, hopefully Jimmy DiResta is doing his thing next year at the Maker Camp, that would probably be a great opportunity.
There you go.
Right?
There we go. There we go. If you are going to any hammer-ins, you're going to want some really cool stuff to show off. And you can get that from TexasFarrierSupply.com. They've got lots of stuff for knife makers, whether you're forging or whether you're into stock removal, whatever it is. They've got a whole section there for people who make knives. So head on over to TexasFarrierSupply.com. And if you use Knife Talk 10, you'll get 10% off. But I use it specifically for Rhino wet sandpaper made by Indasa. It's the best sandpaper out there. It saves me time. And if it saves me time, it saves me money. And I can get 10% off by buying that at TexasFarrierSupply.com and using that Knife Talk 10. There we go.
You're very good at squeezing these ads in.
We've got a lot to squeeze in lately. Right. So, yeah, I'm always trying to think, how can I connect these in some way? Shall we do a few beefs that we had last week? So these are our listener beefs. Right.
Beef. We got beef.
This is beef runoff.
Yeah, I like this first one from Jonathan Bigelow, who's Juice Bigelow's brother.
Come on, man.
I got beef. The pressure of being outgoing during Christmas. Like, if I play one more game with my relatives, I'm going to kill someone. Yeah, I think maybe a lot of us who do what we do are probably quite insular and not very outgoing because we probably spend a lot of time on our own.
Listening to podcasts. And
listening to podcasts, yeah. I'm the same. I need time to be alone, and being around too many people is just the worst thing for me. But yeah, I feel your pain, Juice.
We're definitely getting, my family and I, we're definitely getting worse. We're definitely getting more, as I say, COVID orthodox. We're shunning people. We've become
like, cut off.
Oh yeah, we're like total zealots.
Yeah,
I don't want to go see anybody.
Can you imagine living through this time without the internet and any sort of outside connection at all? You know, when people had the plague and stuff, and people at the pandemics, they didn't have, you know, Netflix and everything else that we've got. Can you imagine how bored and how lonely you'd be? Jeez. We're so lucky. So lucky to be living in these crazy times.
All right. The next beef comes from Baltic Blades. You've 100 times heard it, but people who ask questions without doing any research. What is this silver plate shit? Am I Google or what? People who are just way too used to getting everything for free without putting their skin into the game. Mm. We've gotten that. We've all gotten that. I think, Miracle, you probably get it the most. Hey, man, show me how you do that again.
Right, sure. Or
yeah, make a video, especially for me to show
that one. Yeah. Actually, I have to. I said that a beef a while ago. Somebody wrote, you have to show a video of how do you do this. And then I bitched about it on Knife Talk. And the guy wrote me this very apologetic email. And I said, listen, I don't remember. We're just fucking around here. Don't worry about it. I'm 100% with you. I completely understand. And it was like not just one person, but there's definitely a sense of. And then there's a lot of. Hey, can you introduce me to this person? I get a lot of that. Mm. I get a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It's like, can you put in a good word for me? No, dude. I don't want
to. I feel bad now because I sent you a message saying exactly that thing just a week or so ago.
And it worked out, didn't it?
It worked out. We've got a guest on the XYZ podcast.
Let's
next
talk
week,
about yeah. it. Give a big plug. Let's plug this the first interview on the XYZ podcast.
It is the first interview. So Bray Pettis, who he founded MakerBot back probably 10, 15 years ago. And MakerBot with the company that brought sort of 3D printers into people's houses. Before that, they were big industrial machines that cost thousands and thousands of pounds. But anyway, he made the MakerBot 3D printer. And if you do any sort of 3D printing, you probably use Thingiverse, which is the software where you can download models and things like that. And that was made by MakerBot, but he now makes this really cool desktop router, the CNC thing. So yeah, so we've got him on the show next week on the XYZ podcast. So make sure you subscribe at makery.network.
For you, I would do it. But I mean, sometimes I get people who are like, you know, they're looking for, you know, can you, do you think you could tell Mareko that I need him to do this for me. I'm like, please
stop him blocking me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been a lot. You think you could talk to him about maybe unblocking me? I'm like, I can't do that. That's too much. You're asking too much. He obviously did something that was worth it. And come on, man. I can't do it, dude. I leave him alone. I don't ask him for much. I don't want to ask him for much. I can't spend all my good fortune on, you know, asking him to unblock, you know, people who are not nice. It's wasteful. It's a wasteful of my favor. I don't want to keep my favors when they're worth it. So.
Miracle's one strike and out policy.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's one strike, to be honest with you. It sounds to me like you do the napalm of blocking sometimes.
Yeah. We what is it? We get tagged in stuff all the time. And especially when people tag me for contests, and I've these are people I've never met before in my entire life. Sure, they follow me, great, thank you. But I'm like, what the fuck is it? It triggers me in that, like, that spamminess. There are a few this week where I'm just like, okay, no, back off, cool off. They're just trying to get some free shit. Okay, cool. Don't get pissed off. And I didn't block them, so you'll be proud to hear.
You were trying to get that pizza oven, and you were tagging all of us. The fucking pizza oven.
What comes around comes around.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why you would probably have a change of heart. Did you ever get that pizza oven? They give anything to you?
Yeah, actually, I did.
They did. They sent you the free pizza oven?
No.
Oh come on, man, go with it.
You should get them as a sponsor. That'd be great.
I mean, you know,
the pizza. Don't try it for this pizza.
You should go for it. Come on, man. I'll help. I mean, don't tag me, but I'll help you. I mean, come on. I'm surprised you haven't blocked Damascus Dave yet. I mean, he tags us all the time.
Oh, I don't have. I like Dave.
All right. Well, there you go, Dave. We like Dave. He's a big fan of tagging people. I wish you'd gotten a pizza oven. I mean, that would have been good.
I mean,
good end to the story, yeah.
I at least add a comment that's meaningful to you guys. Like, I would have shared it with you anyways, basically. I tag people that I would have shared stuff with anyways.
This would look great in the back of your house, yeah.
Exactly, with your new patio and your fire pit. Yeah, you know, you're getting it set up back there.
That's the move, everybody. If you're going to tag Mareko, give him a nice comment. This would be great by your Craig's motor scooter.
His smashed up motor scooter
with a dent on the front. Yeah.
that's what you need to do, guys. Remember, if you're going to tag us, you have to write something funny and clever. Otherwise, it's Block City.
Exactly. Make me laugh, please. All right. This next one's from Tom McLean. He says, "You send out a great and photogenic knife, and when the new owner gets it, they take a shitty picture, and to help quote unquote spread the word, and then." They post it all over their social media, and the knife looks all jacked up with a weird profile and a shitty looking finish on the picture. In the picture, when in reality, it's a great and beautifully finished knife. Fuck.
Tom McLean, the hand pick king of Canada.
Canada.
You got them broken fingers that makes it. You know, I tell you what, I was actually, when I had Nick Anger, just everybody remember, it's not Nick Anger.
Anger.
Nick Anger. He says Nick. I called him. I got his voicemail message, and he said Anger knives. So I whatever he says. I was gonna do a whole bit with him because he's the king. He's the king of the handpick. I mean, he's the, as far as I'm concerned. There are different styles of handpicks, and I wanted to kind of like break them all down with him, but he didn't want to. We didn't go that way. There's the one where your hand is outstretched, which is like what Tom does. He's got a couple of broken fingers, and they look like one of them bow-legged women. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? You got the knife is outstretched, bow-legged fingers, and then you have the one where what Nick does, which is like I kind of see like the 1980s Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, where she's kind of like sitting on the beach and kind of like keeping their legs together and kind of slimming down, making that big fat hand look a little slimmer. There are all these different ones I've noticed that certain people do. And that's all I got. Handpicked.
Okay. But yeah, it is always frustrating when it's a really bad picture of one of your knives. But it's difficult to photograph a knife well. You know, it is difficult. So unfortunately, it's going to happen. Yeah, what can you do?
Aubrey Hummer says, my beef is with people throwing garbage out their window while driving down the road, specifically in front of my house. Most of the time, it's chip bags and bottles, but sometimes it's something even worse. 2 weeks ago, someone threw out a cigarette out the window and it rolled into my yard, and I have a big burn spot in my grass for everyone to see. Keep your garbage in your garbage car until you get to the garbage house and throw it out in your own garbage.
Yeah, that's one thing that really grates me as well. Seeing, people just throwing litter is the worst.
Sure.
The worst is seeing them Coney Island whitefish all over the street.
What the hell?
Sorry, doing what?
A Coney Island whitefish? You know what a Coney Island whitefish is?
No, school me.
It's a used rubber.
Oh. Coney Island whitefish.
A Coney Island whitefish. Oh, Jesus, what are you doing? Sniffing around the back of dirty old lanes and stuff and alleyways.
That's what my dad said when I was a kid. My dad said, I said, Dad, what's that? He goes, oh, that's a Coney Island whitefish.
Oh, for real.
Disgusting. Actually, when I walk my dogs, I
didn't think we'd be talking about that today.
That's what they're called. But when I walk the dogs, actually, because people have so many ring doorbells, you're losing it. when I walk the dogs, people have so many people I know have the ring doorbell that I'm afraid to use their garbage to put the garbage to put the like if their garbage is close to the front yard. I'm afraid
to open up the.
I don't want to get on the Ring video doorbell. That's the big thing now. I don't want people to see me use their garbage.
Yeah.
Carry that shit the whole way.
Yeah, that's the worst. If you've got a dog and you pick up their dog shit and you're walking around the street with a bag of steam and shit in your hand,
it's not nice. It's not nice.
Tie it back to the leash? Do you guys not do that technique?
Have you seen those people are fucking bananas. If you're gonna have a dangling fucking bag of hot shit hanging from your leash, that's ridiculous.
And what better than those fucking assholes who just leave it, throw it out on the fucking sidewalk? They take the time to bag it up and then put it on the sidewalk or whatever the side of the road. Like there's somebody walking around picking up dog shit, like Jeff in the middle of Manhattan.
I number one, my dogs will never go to Manhattan. Number two, I always pick up after my dogs. My dogs are too crazy to go to Manhattan. I always pick up. But the worst is if you have a bag and then they start running around, you don't want that bag to kind of like, hit you. So I don't want it tied to my leash. I know where the garbage cans are, and I give the dogs special treats if they go to the bathroom right by a garbage can.
Train them. Nice. Okay, another beef from, I think it's Nick Corzine. My beef is with people who have nothing nice to say but feel they have to say something. Didn't your mother tell you, if you have nothing nice to say, then say nothing at all?
Yeah.
Damn straight.
He's never been on the internet before.
Yeah. Never looked at YouTube comments.
Oh, yeah. You know what I learned about YouTube comments, which I never knew this before? You probably did. Jesse told me that engagement is like almost like currency. So if someone says something shitty to you and then you kind of like get them to say a couple more things back, even if it's shitty, you get like, it's a degree of currency.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you hear a lot in YouTube videos when people say, so tell me, what do you think about so-and-so? Leave a message down in the comments. Because basically what that is doing, that's sort of bulking them up in the algorithm and making them put in front of more eyes.
So if you like somebody says you suck, oh thanks, so do you, and then they come, I don't suck, you suck, and the next thing you know, it's like
it's all good.
That's
it's
crazy. All good. That is fucking crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Oh yes.
Well, what's crazy is that the fact that people stopping to take 2 seconds is the currency in our modern age.
Can't make it up.
Taking the time out of your day to put somebody down who you don't even know, that is just ridiculous, isn't it? But I don't know. Some people get a little buzz from that, I assume. I don't know. It's weird.
It's weird. Super weird. Who else? We got Mark Burchette. Hey, fellas. My beef is that my work is 3 hours away from my family, and I can only get to see my wife and kids on the weekends. That also translates to me only getting to work in the shop for a couple of hours a week. Here's to finding new solutions in the new year. Cheers, and all the best to you and yours.
three hours away to get into work, and obviously 3 hours back. That's a full working day traveling.
That's a fucking lot.
Wow, is this?
I used to do an hour, and that was about max. It's a long time. 3 hours, a long time. 6 hours, a long time.
Especially listening to us in the car as well. Can you imagine?
People, I get messages of people saying, "Thank God you're on. I got something to listen to." P.S. Let's hear it for the Makery channel. The Makery Network has great podcasts, and I listen to exclusively the Makery podcasts. I listen to Housework, Brian House. I love his podcast. I listen to.
He's got the voice. He's got the voice.
He and I are gonna. He and I are gonna do something soon. He is probably gonna come on the Full Blast podcast. I gotta interact with that voice. He and I talk on the phone. Yeah. He's got the voice for radio for sure. And then, he's great. Super good dude. And then, obviously, Handmade podcast. I always have a good time listening to those guys. And then I listen to XYZ. I find myself listening to primarily the guys on the Makery. So.
Nice. Thank you.
You do a great job.
Thank you. Okay, Racer Rex, still fucking junk mail. How is it allowed? I get a monthly brick of junk that just goes straight into the bin. The recycling one, sure, but maddening. And he says, wishing everyone well. You're the best. Thanks for the show. More. Yeah. How is that allowed? It's crazy. Just sticking shit through your letterbox. It's wrong.
Shout out wrong. To Eric over Racer Rex. Every year for the All Beef Review, he says junk mail. So this is like the third. He's consistent. He's completely consistent. He's the best.
And point to make with that, actually, a lot of it is coated stuff. So it's not actually for recycling. It needs just to go in the bin, which is, the worst. Yeah. Anybody who's sending stuff. What benefit can it be? Do you ever get like junk mail, open it up and go, oh, actually, that's a good deal. Call these guys up. Sounds like a good deal. Never.
When I was a kid, I used to like it. Once in a while, we would get, before Christmas, we'd get the Caldor newsletter, and it would show all the different G.I. Joes that were coming out for Christmas. I used to like that.
But, you know, that was a different time, wasn't it? That was when everything was black and white. Yeah, that was many a moon ago, Jeffrey.
That's when I was driving my scooter into the sides of cars. Slipping on a Coney Island whitefish.
I tell you what, let's finish off with Jeff. You can do the last beefs, and then they're from your buddy Owner Kaglar. Dies in every film.
Oh, you can't if you don't love Owner Kaglar, I don't know what you're doing in your life. I'm not gonna find it though. He's the best. I mean, I'll tell you what, he's the best. He's like, I got too many beefs to narrow down to three. Number one, people messaging trying to get free stuff by saying they can show it to their followers or a group admin so they can post in the group, like it, and make it more important in some way. I had a guy message me last week saying how he travels around the world and can get pictures of my work all over, which would be good advertising for me, he says. He even posted his links in one of his personal Facebook. The other was on Instagram, and most of the comments there were from his mom and sister. So I sent him pricing, and he didn't reply. Making knives for free and promises doesn't pay my bills or feed my kids. The second beef is people who moan about all the tools I have like I didn't earn it. It's me. To me, it's that they lack ambition and drive to try to work and get the same stuff they shoot others down. The third beef is unsolicited advice. People trying to give you advice you didn't ask for, and when you tell them this, they get all bitter, like you should listen to them and thank you for the advice you didn't ask for anyway, and most of the time it's wrong.
Legitimate beefs, each of them.
He's a good dude. He's funny. He's funny. He's a funny guy.
Yeah. But that second one, people moan about the tools that you have. And you see that a lot. Again, talking about sort of YouTube and YouTube comments, people say, oh, well, that's easy to make if you've got, you know, whatever tool that is. And it's like, well, but the thing is, they have got that tool. And if it's making their life easier, they are going to use it. Like, it's a weird put down when people say it's weird.
I have a real problem with that one because, generally speaking, I'm now coming to the conclusion that, you know, we say everybody can do this. I don't think everybody can do this. I think that there's a certain mindset that won't allow people the success that they want. And I think when they start to say, if I had that tool, I could do that, they're incorrect. I think that it's completely, number one, it's very, you know, it's obviously you're taking a shot at someone, but it's mm-hmm. not clearly true. I know blacksmith friends of mine who some of them just don't have the motivation to do what they want to do. And they'll see something and they'll say something like, I could have done that. Like, I remember going to see a sculptor by the name of Richard Serra, who's very famous for, you know, giant blocks of steel. You know, some of them are rolled, some of them aren't rolled. You know, it gets to the point where you can look at some of them, you're just like, well, I could have just taken a big, you know, 900 pound piece of steel and just stuck it on the ground. I could have done that, but you didn't.
But you didn't.
And yeah. I think that a lot of people have this idea that just because you see it and maybe you can do it, then that's as good as you already doing it.
Yeah. I think some people think we should all be on a level playing field.
Right.
And if they think somebody isn't, they think it's easier to tear them down rather than raise themselves up, you know? And it's just...
Perfect example is Alex Steele. When I talk to Alec, I mean, he's got plenty of stuff, but he's got the motivation to use it all and do it. I mean, he's motivated. Yeah. And I get the feeling that there are a lot of people who aren't motivated. And the other thing is you do with what you have. So like the guy who was making his knives with the files, that guy's going to be more motivated. And then at some point he's going to be able to, you know, level up. But yeah. I do hate it when people say, well, if I had that tool, I could have done that too. I don't think you could. I don't think anybody who can do it would never respond that way.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, completely. Fucking people. I said it again.
I love that.
Okay. New year, new resolutions, new promises. Where are we going this time? For this time next week, Mareko, what are you working on this week?
I actually got a couple knives going right now. And so my goal is just to kind of get those out the door, basically. Nothing too crazy. And yeah, that's basically it. Sorry.
Nice.
Nothing too fancy.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, I'll do mine, and Jeff, if you can think mm-hmm. of one for this week. So I'm working on a video for this week. So for the next batch of knives that I'll be launching, which are chef knives, which are going to be called Raw, and they're going to, the whole idea is it's just straight off the belt, made as so economically as possible, I suppose, so I can pass that saving on. But I've really got into lately, when I release a new batch of knives, of making like a video for them just to sort of launch them. And this is the biggest one to date. It's quite a production going on. So yeah, it's lots of fun recording a video for this new knife. So I'm hoping to finish the video this week. I don't think it'll be released for a few weeks because I need to get a bunch of knives made. But yeah, it's gonna be cool. Jeffrey.
I just my first knife of the new year is a knife for the house, and I've been fooling around with crazy colors and asymmetricality and processes I haven't done before, and I can't wait to finish it because it looks bananas, and I'm starting to enjoy things looking a little bit more bananas.
When you say crazy colors and asymmetrical, do you mean you're using all the scraps in the shop?
There's a lot of scraps. I use a lot of scraps, but not like, I mean.
I see you.
But it wasn't like, it wasn't just like gluing all the scraps together. However, it's, you know, lots of different color contrasts and shapes. Yeah. And it was based on the color preferences my wife has. She really is. She likes high color contrasting with black and white chevrons, and I'm really happy with this, and also kind of fading back into kind of more sculptural stuff that makes me more interested, so, and setting me apart too. So it's definitely, I'm looking forward to doing more stuff that's makes me happy. So yeah, that's it.
Nice. Nice. That's a show.
Speaking of which, how did those fucking oysters turn out?
Oh, so good. So good. Actually, we went yesterday to try and buy more oysters and we couldn't get any because we were going to do some last night too. The best, the best. So yeah, as mentioned last week, we normally just have them raw, but this was just a different way of doing them, and they were great. I stunk to high heaven afterwards with there's so much garlic butter on there and the cheese and so on. They were awesome. They were awesome. Very much like snails,
right? Right.
Because it's all about the sauce, I suppose. The garlic butter, but yeah, beautiful and really fresh when they, you know. The thing is, with anything with, you know, a big buttery sauce can quite often feel really heavy, you know, but with the oyster being so light and so refreshing going down, it was perfect. Really, really good. So they're going to be a new tradition, I think, in the house over Christmas, definitely.
Yeah, it's a damn good, that's a the Drago style oysters, it's a total banger.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. We did, but it was over a year ago now, I think, our cookery challenges. Are we going to bring them back, do you think?
I owe you. Don't I? I'm the champion. Don't I owe? I at some point, we're going to have to do it again. Aren't I the reigning? I'm the reigning champion.
That's champion. I mean, I don't mean to come across like the biggest idiot in the world, but I think that vote was rigged. And I think I demand a recount.
The fuck out of here.
You have a think about what we should be cooking for next week then, and you can set us a challenge and we'll go from there.
Can we not do it for next week? Can I announce it for the next week?
Oh, you need practice.
I don't need practice. Okay. I got things to do. Jesus Christ. All right, you want me to
I'm joking. Whenever you're comfortable.
Just
Jeff.
Give me not we I will announce it next week.
Okay. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Maybe our listeners can join in too.
That's it. Great. I will announce it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. When it comes to me, I'm going to do pizza again because we need to get Mareko to have one of these pizza ovens. So if we can get them to sponsor, we'll do a wood-fired pizza week again.
I did pizza last night. It was great.
Nice. I haven't lit mine for so long. And yeah. I need pizza in my life again. Mm-hmm. I'm still on the Christmas train at the moment of just eating anything that's in front of me. I desperately need to be losing weight and eating healthier.
Stay away from those whitefish.
And on that bombshell, that's a show. We shall see you again next week. Bye for now.
If you like this show, take a look at our other shows made for makers just like you at www.makery.network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.